The reading you heard by Starhawk speaks to something we all know and understand and prize: community, a circle of healing, a circle of friends. We all have our small communities of family or friends. Then there are our larger communities, our cities and towns, our state, our nation. And the question is, shall the larger community be exclusive or inclusive? Do we have a bias toward keeping the stranger out or welcoming the stranger in? Circling the wagons or drawing the circle wide? And how we define citizenship presents us with an opportunity to display that bias. There are two common law precedents for determining citizenship: jus soli, which is Latin meaning right of the soil, and jus sanguinis, right of blood. Jus soli confers citizenship based on where one is born, and jus sanguinis confers citizenship based on the parents' citizenship. It should come as no surprise to us that in this time of acute white anxiety in response to challenges to their privilege, our privilege, that citizenship is a hot-button issue. Here is a brief and abbreviated history of United States citizenship. Just a FYI. 1776. The Declaration of Independence assails King George III for preventing the colonies from naturalizing new settlers. 1790. Naturalization is reserved for free white persons with at least 2 years' residence. This was the first official definition. Two was later changed to five. 1848, the treaty ending the U.S.-Mexico War guarantees citizenship to Mexican subjects in new territories, including California. Federal courts later cite that treaty as removing racial bars to naturalization for Mexican settlers. 1857, Dred Scott decision of the Supreme Court holds that a Negro cannot be a citizen. 1868, the 14th Amendment, which was part of Reconstruction following the Civil War, grants citizenship to those U.S. born, cementing the status of most blacks, but leaving uncertainty on other minorities. The intent of the 14th Amendment was to secure the status, the free status of former slaves, and reverse Dred Scott. 1882, the Chinese Exclusion Act bars Chinese from naturalization. 1898, U.S.-born children of foreign nationals are guaranteed citizenship, the Supreme Court ruled, even if immigrant parents are barred. 1906, safeguards set for naturalization, safeguards of whom, you might ask, include the ability to speak and understand English. 1917, the U.S. Congress enacted the first widely restrictive immigration law requiring an English literacy test and increasing the tax paid by new immigrants on their arrival, and barring anyone from a geographically defined Asiatic barred zone. 1924. The Immigration Act of 1924 took these restrictions a step further. It limited the number of immigrants allowed entry into the United States through a national origin quota. And this quota provided immigration visas to 2% of the total number of people of each nationality in the United States as of the 1890 census, and completely excluded immigrants from Asia. And just see that what they're saying is, let's look at people from various nations as of 1890, which was, what, 30 years earlier, and we'll only let 2% of that in. So, 1931 was the repeal of a statute stripping women of citizenship if they marry a foreigner racially barred from becoming a citizen. In 1940, birthright citizenship to Native Americans was granted. 1952, the law was amended to say citizenship shall not be denied or abridged because of race or sex, ending a 162-year legacy of racial bars. 1997, amid charges that ineligible criminals are being naturalized, federal officials move to strip citizenship of 5,000 immigrants with criminal arrest records. 1917, President Trump signs an 2017, yes, right. We don't need to go backwards. 2017, President Trump to the Air Force. President Trump signed an executive order generally known as the Muslim ban. This has been litigated repeatedly by the ACLU and others. However, on June 26, 2018, the Supreme Court upheld the ban, and litigation continues. 2019, in a May 21st article, the New York Times reported that the State Department had ruled that the surrogate-born daughter of two gay U.S. citizens was deemed not to qualify for citizenship. The child was born abroad and deemed by the State Department to be born out of wedlock. And this is a quote from the article. At issue is a State Department policy based on immigration law that requires a child born abroad to have a biological connection to an American parent in order to receive citizenship at birth. That is generally not a problem when couples have babies the traditional way, but can prove tricky when only one spouse is the genetic parent. The policy has come under intense scrutiny in recent months amid lawsuits arguing that the State Department discriminates against same-sex couples and their children by failing to recognize their marriages. Under the policy, the department classifies certain children born through assisted reproductive technology as out of wedlock, which triggers a higher bar for citizenship, even if the parents are legally married. June 2019, the Supreme Court rejects the Trump administration rationale for adding citizenship question to the census, but you've read that it has been uttered that it will be on there anyway. So we will see. Be assured, the issue of citizenship will continue to simmer or boil as long as there are white-identified people terrified of being replaced, fearful of the difference they experience in their contacts with black and brown and whatever you are, you aren't white people. Exclusive or inclusive? That is the question. Perhaps a question on which hangs the fate of our dream of democracy.